I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet in spite of everything that is going on around us. We thank you that we are still able to gather as a church, as children of God, as one family, and continue to worship, continue to teach, to be fed the word of God, continue to grow in you as you would have it. We thank you for another opportunity at the Word. We pray, Lord, for your blessing and help. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, to give me utterance, and to grant understanding to our hearers this day. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right. So the general subject has been on prayer. We've been talking about, this is the year of the shepherd, you remember? And so we are still talking about shepherdural things, things that shepherds do. And we're now talking about prayer for the shepherd. And we started by talking, we were sharing 7 reasons why you should do everything by prayer. Prayer. And then last Sunday, we talked about the importance of praying early in the morning, praying at dawn. And we learned some wonderful things there. Now, today, I want to move on to Thanksgiving, prayers of Thanksgiving. You know, I'm sharing from this book, Everything by Prayer, Nothing Without Prayer, by Dr. Mills. I think that's our bishop and our prophet. So we're sharing from that book. And it's an amazing teaching on prayer. And we're going through it. So if you have your book, you can just get it. If you don't have one, you can just quickly go online, purchase one, and download it, and we can go through together. I'm sharing from chapter 4 today. And the chapter talks about how to pray prayers, Thanksgiving prayers, how to pray Thanksgiving prayers. Now, I believe this is a very important chapter. This is a very important message because of the way our world is becoming. And we need to be thankful again, all over again. And according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Okay. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. In the last days perilous times shall come. Then it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Right. So one of the characteristics of the last days is supposed to be that people will be unthankful. And I believe we are already experiencing that. We're already seeing that people generally are more presumptuous, people are unthankful, people don't have a mentality of being grateful for the things that they have, the things God allows them to enjoy. People more or less have a sense of entitlement more to things. And you see that more and more every day. But I believe that God wants you and I to have a grateful heart. Amen. Right. So let's go quickly. 8 things you should know about Thanksgiving prayers. 8 things you should know about Thanksgiving prayers. And the first one is that prayers of Thanksgiving start with having a heart full of Thanksgiving. Okay. Prayers of Thanksgiving, they begin with having a heart full of Thanksgiving. In other words, a person is not likely to pray prayers of Thanksgiving if they do not have a heart full of Thanksgiving. Okay? That you will not pray and be grateful to God. You will not show your gratitude to God if in your heart you're not a thankful person. And as I said earlier, more and more people are turning out to be ungrateful and unthankful people. You see, Thanksgiving is not just something you say. It's you are a grateful person, and saying thank you becomes one of the fruits of the disposition of your heart. That's how you are. You're a grateful person. And similarly, if you're an ungrateful person, then saying thank you becomes very, very difficult for you. And the world in which we live today does not acknowledge God much. And the world is largely unthankful for many things which are rather just privileges, right? Now, Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. That which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, right? So now this is the state of man. The Bible is saying that there is every reason. God has given us and continues to give us every reason to acknowledge him and be thankful to him. But man simply refuses to acknowledge God and to show our gratitude to the Lord. You know, it says that which may be known of God is manifest in them. In other words, God is revealed in us. God is revealed in creation. God is revealed around us, you know, but we just refuse to acknowledge him. We refuse to acknowledge that the things we see around us are things we are blessed to have, we're blessed to enjoy, and that we owe it to a creator, someone who made it. You know, a lot of people think these days that because of science, or that science is the answer or the explanation for the things we see. But all that science does is to explore and to discover the things that God has made. You know, science does not disprove the existence of God. Science is a tool by which we understand God. You know, all the experiments we perform and so on in the labs and so on, they only discover and reveal, they expose the things that God has created. You know, unless you can actually invent something out of nothing, you know, you can't really dispute the fact that there is a creator. God has created things, and everything we create comes out of things God has already made. you know, whether it's the air or chemicals or whatever, we manufacture or we create out of creation. The things God has already made, we simply bring them together to create things and to make fantastic things. You know, so if we are creators, then we only are secondary creators, but not the primary creators. The primary creator, the original one, is God himself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you understand, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So God is the creator himself, you know, and when we don't acknowledge him, when we don't acknowledge his work in our lives, we don't acknowledge his contribution and the things he has provided, then we become ungrateful, you see. And it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They were not thankful. People are not thankful even when God's hand is clearly revealed. In the things that happen and in the things that he does, people do not acknowledge God. And he says, we become vain in our imaginations. You know, we attribute them to other things. We find different kinds of explanations for the things happening to us. And he says, then our hearts become exposed to darkness. Do you see? Their foolish heart was darkened. Then it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, right? So being an unthankful person, you know, exposes you to darkness. It says, unthankful people usually become perverted, twisted, and corrupted. Unthankful people usually become perverted, twisted, and corrupted. And the thoughts of unthankful people tend towards darkness, right? It's, well, you should be around someone who is not thankful, and you find out that their conversation and the things they say, you know, they're full of memory, full of complaining. The whole attitude is born out of darkness. You get it? Their lives are carried out in darkness, and they express darkness because they are not grateful to God. When you meet a thankful person, it's not about what they have or anything like that. But you see people who don't even have much. But when you are around a thankful person, it's like you're around light. You know, recently there was a video going around. I think it was Pastor Charles who was sharing that with us the other day. A video of a woman who didn't have much. Did you see that video? Did you get to see?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, she didn't have a whole lot, but even the smile on her face, you know, if you were to play that video and turn your volume off, that means you wouldn't even hear what she was saying. You still get the vibe of relating with a pleasant person. You fall in love with the person you're seeing even without hearing her. Try it. You try it after service today. You see that you have a connection to the person which is bright and which is nice, you see, compared to a complaining person, you know, and someone who is not grateful for the things they have in their lives. Unthankful people are discontented and they quickly progress into murmuring and complaining kind of people. Okay, Luke chapter 6 is an interesting verse. Luke chapter 6 from verse 43. Luke chapter 6 from verse 43. Okay. It says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Okay. Then verse 44, for every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Okay, then verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So what it means then is that you can actually diagnose yourself or assess yourself by listening to yourself. Just hear yourself talk, because the Bible is saying that the things you say are a reflection of what you are full of. You see, so when you meet someone who does not easily say thank you, someone who forgets to say thank you, someone who has to be prompted all the time to say thank you, someone who rarely says thank you, you are looking at a person who is unthankful. You get it? Because being thankful is more than something you say. Actually, the things you say are the final expressions of your gratitude, of what is in your heart. You see, the final stage of that expression is what we hear you say. But long before you say anything, you are thankful or unthankful in your heart. So even your silence, you can be ungrateful, you see. And when it says they were not thankful, or they were not thankful, is God wants us to be a certain way. You see, God wants us to be a certain way. Thankful is a way to be. Maybe that, let me put it that way. It's a way to be. It's a state of existence where you are a grateful person. Your disposition, naturally, default disposition is that you are grateful. And you find when you meet grateful people, it is hard for them to complain. They always see the positive side of things. They always see what is working. When you meet an ungrateful person, the first thing they see is what is not working. They always notice first what is not working, what they are missing, what is missing. That's what they notice first. But thankful people always notice that, or they also observe what is missing, but they talk about what they have and what is working. They can see they have something. They can see they have something. They can see something is working, and they dwell on that, and rather than dwelling on what is not working. You know, so God is speaking to you. God is telling you that you need to be a thankful person, because when you are unthankful, then you are full of murmuring, complaining, evil thoughts, negative thoughts all the time because of the darkness that is around you. But when you're a thankful person, you expose yourself to light and you see that you become even a happier person. You are a more contented person, and life actually becomes a lot better for you just because you are thankful. Hallelujah. We should be thankful that in spite of the virus, we're still able to have church.
Mm-hmm.
A thankful person will be talking about why they have to be on the internet for church. You know, they'll be complaining about the speed of the internet. They'll be complaining about how OP Michelle was speaking and she wasn't looking at us, or where was she looking. They'll be complaining about the duration of the sermon. They'll be complaining. So many things they'll be talking about. But they forget that we could easily have been in darkness. You know, we wouldn't even have church at all. You know, so we should be grateful. I'm grateful for what we have. I'm grateful that you can be right there and I can be here, and we can still Amen. Have church, that I can still share the word of God with you, that you rose up and you came to listen to me. It's a blessing, you know.
Amen.
Because not every pastor has people listening to them this morning. So it's a blessing. I'm grateful. Keep it up. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Now, the second thing you need to know about prayers of thanksgiving, the first one is to remember that it begins from the heart. You have to be a thankful person to be able to pray prayers of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Now, the second one is that they protect you. Prayers of thanksgiving protect you from the evil of the last days.
Wow.
Evil of the last days. Okay. Now, that's what we were talking about earlier. To be unthankful is to have fallen into the evil last days. You are falling into a last days evil, you know, if you are unthankful. And that's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, and unthankful. This is one of the features of the last days. Now, if you look at the company that being unthankful is keeping right there in that verse, you see the other evils that are there. Men will be lovers of their own selves. Men will be covetous. Men will be boasters. Men will be proud. Men will be blasphemous, disobedient to parents, and unholy. You see, all these things are very negative things, and we don't like to be near people who have any of these features, okay? So you can imagine where it places being unthankful. When you are unthankful, you fall into the same category as proud people, as boasters, as covetous people, blasphemous. That's your company, that's your group, that's where you belong. When you are unthankful. So you may say, well, for me, I've never said anything blasphemous. I've never spoken any proud words, or I don't think I'm proud. But you are actually in that same group. You know, it's a category of evils or vices that are just moving together. And God is showing us that being unthankful in particular belongs to that group, and we need to watch out for that. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
One day I was listening to one of the governors of one of the states, and he was talking about how that the CAV, you know, the coronavirus infection CAV, is beginning to flatten, you know. And then he categorically said that, you know, God didn't do it. You know, he said it. I actually had to rewind it and hear it again. You see, and I heard him say it again, that God didn't do it. I said, wow. You know, we all have been praying and asking God to intervene. And then when we start to see something positive, instead of acknowledging God and acknowledging, you know, his help, we say God didn't do it. It's like our own strength and our own might and our own intelligence. See, that's what the Bible says, that the opposite of being thankful is to be given to your own imaginations, your ideas about how the thing came to be. And you have different explanations for why you're enjoying what you're enjoying or experiencing what you have experienced. But indeed, it is the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, you know, none of us would be here. So let's be careful to be thankful. Amen. Now, number three is that prayers of thanksgiving catapult you into the presence of God. Prayers of thanksgiving, you know, they catapult you into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Right?
Amen.
Now, it means that as you begin to be thankful, prayers of thanksgiving shoot you right into the presence of God. Okay? And the verse is Psalm 100 and verse 4. Psalms 100 and verse number 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Okay, so the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Okay. So right there we can see that the way to enter God's presence is by being thankful. Okay, saying thank you is the way to start your prayers. That's how to begin to pray, by saying thank you. Saying thank you. Saying thank you for what? Well, it's right there in the verse. It says the reason why you have to be thankful is for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations, right? Now, these are standing reasons and facts about God for which we have to be grateful, because we all have experienced God's goodness. We all have experienced God's mercy, and we all have experienced God's truth. As I'm preaching the word of God to you right now, it is an experience with God's truth, right? And we all have experienced God's mercy. I mean, it says, because the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And God has been good to all of us. And even if God, or you feel God has not been good to you, everyone listening to me knows someone to whom God has been good. Right? And you know someone to whom God has been good. And so God is good. God is good. God is good. And it is important, you know, for us to acknowledge it. And that is a basis for thanksgiving, or for your thanksgiving prayer, even if you haven't experienced it. You see, and often, you see, we judge God based on maybe our recent experiences. You find someone who maybe recently lost a job, or, you know, something negative happened to them, you know, something unpleasant happened to them, and people suddenly feel like they can't say that God is good, or that they have not experienced the goodness of God. But the goodness of God, or being thankful, is not based on, and should not be based on, any recent thing the Lord has done. It's talking about, it says, for the Lord is good. You see, it's not even saying the Lord has been good. It says, for the Lord is good. God is good. God is good all the time. You see, so God is good. And based on the fact that God is good, the goodness you have experienced before, the goodness others are experiencing that you are aware of, you know, often when you say somebody is wicked, it's not always because you have experienced personally an act of wickedness from them. But sometimes just what you see them do to another person makes you totally convinced that this person is a wicked man. In other words, you don't have to personally experience that for that wickedness, or the assertion or judgment of wickedness concerning the person to be valid, you see. So people are wicked because that's a very wicked person. Yes, it's just based on what you saw him do somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say God is good, even if it's not to you personally, or you cannot relate with it personally based on your current circumstances, you know that God is good even by looking at other people. But the reality is that there is none of us who can say that we have not personally experienced God's goodness. As you sit here, you are experiencing God's goodness.
Yeah.
Went to bed last night, you woke up this morning, that is the Lord right there. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the Lord. If you want to be vain in your imaginations, you say it's because you eat healthy. You know, it is because you work out. If it was because you work out, then the owners of gyms will never die. You get it? Yeah. But that's not how it works. We need to be careful not to be vain in our imaginations. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God is good, and we must be careful to acknowledge it. So when we start being grateful, when you start praying, you try to enter into God's presence, or begin your prayer with a time of thanksgiving. Just start being grateful. Sometimes it takes some preparation. What am I going to thank God for? Sit down, take a pen, start writing, and you begin to see how many things God has done, you know, And there's nothing wrong with thanking God even for the same thing over and over again. As long as that thing continues to give and give and give and give and still be a blessing, God deserves thanks, as many thanks for it as the thing continues to be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. So amen. God is good, and it is very easy to sit back and count the things to be grateful for. There are so many of them. To be grateful for your health, to be grateful for your job, to be grateful for your education. You can be grateful for your spouse. You can be grateful for your children. You can be grateful for your children's health. You can be grateful for the favor you have at work. You can be grateful for your church. We can be grateful for our prophet. We can be grateful. I mean, think about that. Our prophet in particular, we are blessed to have him, you know. Yeah. We're blessed to have him continuing to preach to us, continuing to lead us, to bless us every time, you know, with the flow prayer meetings that are happening. Those of you who've been joining the flow prayer meetings, I mean, even for, because he could also just keep that to himself. He could just be praying in his room, in his house. After all, everybody is supposed to be staying in their house, you know. Yeah. So he could also be in his home just praying. But to come out and to lead prayer and to pray with us and to encourage us and to be with us, it's a blessing. That's something to be thankful for, not something to complain about or murmur about or criticize for that matter. You see, then yourself is beginning to come into the thing. You are beginning to reveal what you are made of. You see, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? So learn to be grateful. Amen.
Amen.
And number four, prayers of thanksgiving must be mixed with every kind of prayer. Okay? Prayers of thanksgiving must be mixed with every kind of prayer. And the verse, Philippians 4 and verse 6, okay? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, right? So right here it says, you must always say thank you as part of every prayer. You must always say thank you as part of every prayer. Do not finish any prayer without saying thank you, right? Do not finish any prayer without saying thank you. Because the verse says it right there. It says, in everything by prayer, right? So in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, in everything. Okay, so you pray about everything and you thank God for everything, you see, or you thank God in every situation, right? That means there must be an element of thanksgiving, you know, in every prayer you pray about anything. So in everything, prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Everything, prayer, supplication, our response to everything. Supplication is just the action of asking or begging for something. Okay, so whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstance, the situation, then prayer or supplication, then thanksgiving. They all go together. It's the package. The thanksgiving must seal it. You know, if it is worth praying about, then you must know that it is also worth thanking God for. Amen. If it is worth praying about, if you're going to pray about it, then remember that you must also add thanksgiving. It says, in everything, we have to learn how to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. in everything. God wants us to pray about everything. And so he also wants us to thank him for everything, to give thanks and say, I am grateful. Thank you. No matter what, I am grateful. No matter what the situation is. Because if it says in everything, honestly, most of the things we pray about, especially the things that make us pray a lot, are usually unpleasant experiences.
True.
Yeah.
Yep.
True. When we go through bad experiences, we pray a lot. Yes. So what it means is that God is expecting us to pray and to say thank you even when the experience is bitter. God wants you to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I believe one of the reasons why we must learn to say thank you is because we don't really know what is happening. We don't really understand it.
Yeah.
But we know that God is good. You see, we know that God is good, and that is very important. Now look at the next point. The next point says, prayers of thanksgiving must be prayed always and for all things. Prayers of thanksgiving must be prayed always and for all things. Okay? And Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, these are scriptures. These are Bible verses. They are telling us what God is expecting of us. God wants you and I to be thankful. God wants you to be thankful. It's not just a Christian thing or a polite thing. I mean, often when we start saying thank you, I mean, growing up as little kids, we're taught to say thank you. You know, your parent is handing something over to you, and sometimes they hold it back, and they ask you, what do you say? What do you say? Then you say thank you, and they release it to you, right? Yeah. So you grow up with, you know, an understanding that it is polite and appropriate to say thank you. But it is deeper than that. Do you understand? Oh. It is deeper than that. It's deeper than, you know, learning the appropriate way to respond when someone is giving you something. It's not in the same category as teaching someone, let's say, how to respond when someone greets you. When someone says good afternoon, you say good afternoon. Or when someone says thank you, you say you're welcome or something like that. That is not in that category. It's a spiritual thing and a spiritual requirement that God has of us. God is telling us that we need to give thanks for all things. Now, are all things sweet? No.
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 Do you see? All things don't have the same effect on us in terms of experience. All things are not the same. And God wants us to be grateful for all things. He must have a reason why he says, you just thank me for it. You just say thank you for it. You may not enjoy the experience, but just say thank you. I know what I'm doing. Just say thank you. Just say thank you. Just say thank you. So we need to learn to say thank you. And the Bible says giving thanks always, always give thanks for all things, no matter what is happening. And I believe it's because of other scriptures like Romans chapter 8 verse 28, which says we know that all things work together for good. Mm-hmm. Right? Let's read Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. See, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If you love God, the Bible says all things are a part of a big project of good. happening in your favor. God is working on something good. And all things work together. All things work together. When you take the experiences one by one, some of the experiences are not nice. Some of them are painful. Some of them are bitter. But when you put them together with others, then you begin to approach the realization that all things indeed work together for good. Some of the things we go through in life contribute something very small, but which is very necessary. It's like a person cooking. I mean, when you're cooking, let's say a bowl of soup or something, you assemble a lot of ingredients. Now, most of the ingredients that make a great tasting soup don't taste great on their own. You know, if you isolate the ingredient and you just chew on it by itself, you take the onions and you just chew on them by themselves, or you take the meat, the raw meat, and just start eating it, or you take whatever else you're putting in the soup to flavor it. You know, you can't enjoy them one by one. You get it individual, because otherwise that would be the easier way to make soup. You just assemble the ingredients and then you start eating them one after the other. Okay. So the soup will happen in your belly. You get it. That's where it's going to happen. You see? But the truth is that if that's how we had to eat things, then nobody will eat anything. Because by itself, the experience is not nice. But when you throw them together, you see, you throw all of them together, the ones that are not nice to experience on their own, together with the ones that are good to experience on their own, you put them all together, you come up with a great tasting soup, and everyone enjoys that, right? And that's what the scripture is saying when it says all things work together for good. Whatever you're going through often is not meant to supply the good by itself, but when combined with other things which are also happening or which will happen later, or in some cases which have happened before, you know, good happens and good is birthed in your life. Some of the things, they just introduce a slight flavor into your life that you are missing, which makes you a more complete person, a more acceptable person, and a much better person to deal with or to relate with, you know. So these happen. And the Bible says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, right? There's another verse in 2 Corinthians 4:15. That one says, for all things are for your sakes. It says, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. All things are for your sakes. You know, all things are for your sakes. So good or bad, nice or not so nice, and sometimes you cannot even believe some of the things that happen. It's really hard to see how any good thing can come out of such an experience, you know. But God knows best. Sometimes when we have to do things for little children or take things away from little children, I mean, they cry and scream and throw themselves on the floor and cry and cry and cry because they cannot see how anything good can come out of what you just did. You know, yeah, a child is playing with a toy that is dangerous, you know, or something that could hurt them. You know, as far as their imagination goes, they cannot even imagine what harm can come from swallowing this. You know, they can't imagine it. They can't imagine what is the good in taking this away from me? It gives me so much pleasure. It makes me so happy. I mean, what is the good? But it is because of the limitation on their thinking. You know, we serve a God who is unlimited. The Bible says that his greatness is unsearchable. Our minds cannot fully comprehend the greatness of our God. You know, the depth of his wisdom. The Bible says our ways are not his ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts. And then the Bible clearly tells us tells us the gap between his ways and our ways. He says, as far as the heavens are from the earth, so are his ways from our ways. So you just imagine, as far as the heavens are from the earth, so are God's ways from our ways. So there is that much of a gap. When God says, this is good, you are not about to understand it. Yes, there are some of the things when he says, this is good for you, they are easy to relate with. You can see the good. Two steps and the good is right there. You can see it. But there are many things also that we will not comprehend now. We will not see them now. We will not understand them now. And perhaps we may never even understand it because we are just not on his level in his ways and thoughts and the depth of his understanding. And it takes just faith and trusting God. And when God says this is good, especially if God has allowed it anyway, you know, if God has allowed it anyway, then there's nothing you can do to change it other than to accept it and to have faith say and say that if God allowed it, well, then it's for my good. It's for my sake. It is going to work to my advantage. And believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. You know, the sky is very high up. The sky is very high up. And if God says that is the gap between his ways, his thoughts, and our thoughts, then we better believe that there are levels of wisdom, there's a depth of understanding that exists, which you don't have access to at your level, which you and I cannot relate with. Even if God was to show it to us, we cannot relate with it. We will not be able to understand it. Much like a little child cannot relate with why, let's say, not allowing him to play with a knife, you know, can hurt him. I mean, he cannot relate with the good in not allowing him to play with a knife. He just doesn't understand it. And sometimes he thinks it's because you are mean, you are insensitive, you don't want him to be happy, you are not allowing him to play. That's why you took the knife from him, you see. But you have a higher purpose that he can't relate with. So you don't even go about explaining or trying to help him understand it. You just take the knife anyway, you know. And your love for the child makes you take the knife from his hand. And you take the knife from his hand, and he doesn't understand it. And you're not even trying to explain it, you know, because he won't even understand it. And he just cries for a little bit, and he stops. It is only when he grows up, sometimes many, many years later, you know, many, many years later. A lot of us were crying when we were sent to school on our first day.
Yeah.
I can see some of you on the call, some of you in church today, you didn't like school.
It's true.
Yeah, it's written all over you. You didn't like school. And your parents took you to school and they left you there and you felt it was the meanest thing they could do to take you to that place and leave you there. You wanted to go back home with them. They ran away and left you with all these strangers. Right? Now you can't even get enough of school. You want to do your master's. Right? Yeah, you want to do your master's. You want to do your PhD. You can't even get enough of it. You are beginning to love learning. Thank God they took you to school anyway, in spite of you crying. So for all those experiences that we don't enjoy, but which God exposes us to, God still wants us to say thank you. You know, what you need to do is to learn to have thank you. Those words must be on your lips, whether you understand, appreciate the experience or not. Just learn to say thank you, and it will be the greatest blessing of your life. Say amen.
Amen.
Now the next verse, the next point, number six, we're just closing. I have a couple more and we'll be done. Number six, prayers of thanksgiving cause the earth to yield her increase and her blessings. Prayers of thanksgiving cause the earth to yield her increase and her blessings. Okay. Prayers of thanksgiving release the power of increase that no other type of prayer does. It releases the power of increase. Now, you find that in Psalm 67. Psalm 67. Let's quickly read the whole of Psalm 67 from verse 1. Psalm 67 and from verse 1. It says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Right? Verse 2. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Right? Then verse 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth. Right? Then verse 5. Verse 5 says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Then in verse 6, it says, then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. Right? As people are grateful, you know, and one of the expressions of gratitude is praise. You know, one of the expressions of a grateful heart is praise, singing praises and expressing your thanks by an appreciation through the songs that we sing and the words that we speak in times of praise to the Lord, right? And one of the effects, the Bible says, then shall the earth yield her increase, right? Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then it says, then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Hallelujah. So Amen. The Bible is saying that God will bless us as we praise him. Now, praise is one of the fruits of thanksgiving. As we are grateful, we sing our praises to the Lord. And the Bible says, if we do, the earth will yield her increase. Right? The earth will yield her increase. And God shall bless us. I mean, it couldn't be clearer. God, even our own God, he shall bless us. And God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. People will be surprised as they see God bless you. Of course, we all, even when we have something to give away, we look for not just someone who needs it, but someone who will appreciate it. We always look for someone who will appreciate what we have, especially when you have something that is used, you know, and you want to give it away. You're always careful who you give it to. You always think through it. Sometimes you see someone who might need it, but you're not sure if he'll appreciate it, you see, because there are some people you give stuff to and it becomes a problem, you know. They complain, they rather even insult you and think very negative thoughts about you for what you gave to them. Then there are people who are also very, very grateful for what you give to them. And so you look for someone who will enjoy what you're about to give. You look for someone who will greatly appreciate it. You look for someone who will never stop talking about it. Someone who will never stop appreciating the gift that you have given to them, not because you want to hear all those praises yourself per se, but just the what the gift means to the person is enjoyable and pleasurable to watch. It's nice to watch someone be satisfied with what you gave them. That's why Jesus said, we should ask and receive that our joy may be full. He said, ask and receive that your joy may be full. God loves to watch how happy, you know, his children are and the difference the things he does for us makes often to our lives. And we also like to watch. Sometimes you buy a toy for your child and you give it to the child and you stand back and just watch the child and just watch what they do with it. And the more they enjoy it, the more fulfilled you also feel, because, you know, you feel like you got it right. You bought the right thing for the person. They're using it all the time. They go to bed with it. They're always grateful that you did it for them, you know. So God is like that also, and God will bless us. The more we show our gratitude to him, God will bless us. It says, God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends shall fear, ends of the world, of the earth, shall fear him. Hallelujah. So that's number six. Prayers of thanksgiving cause the earth to yield her increase and her blessings, right? Then number seven, quickly, we're coming to an end. Number seven, prayers of thanksgiving are very powerful in the release of multiplication miracles. Prayers of thanksgiving are very powerful in the release of multiplication miracles. Now, what are multiplication miracles? They are miracles where what appears to not be enough suddenly becomes more than enough. Okay? Mm. A classic example in the Bible is in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and from verse 10. This is the story of the multiplication of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people. Now, you and I know that if we have 5,000 people to feed, you're not thinking about 5 loaves of bread, right? You're thinking about truckloads of bread. You're thinking of a whole semi, maybe a couple of them bringing the loaves of bread for 5,000 people. But that's not what was happening here. It says in verse 10, it says, and Jesus said, make the man sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that nothing remain. I'm sorry. He says, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Right? Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Hallelujah. What did Jesus do with loaves that were too few? The Bible says he took them and he gave thanks. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it. He embraced what was not enough. He took it. Wasn't enough, but he still took it. He didn't shove it somewhere and despise it and say, you know, what is this going to do? One of the disciples had done that earlier, and you read it somewhere in the earlier part of the chapter. You know, one of them said, what is this among so many? You know, it's like we have a real problem and you brought a toy solution. You see, we need a real solution. It was loaves of bread from a little boy. It's like, what is this? It can't really do anything. But Jesus decided to respect it. He said, this is something. I ought to be grateful for it. You know, many times you find yourself having less than enough of what you need. You find yourself having, you know, just a little bit of what you need. Just not enough, but something. Something that you can be grateful for, or that you can choose to complain about. And the choice is yours. Jesus, instead of complaining about the few loaves, you know, he could have complained. He could have said to the Lord, Lord, if you knew there were not enough loaves, you know, you shouldn't have gotten me into this situation. I mean, how do you get me into such a tight corner? And now I don't know what to do. What are these people going to eat? But the Bible says he took the loaves. He embraced the loaves and he said, thank you. Maybe you need to be thankful for whatever you have. that does not appear to be what you thought or would have wished it would be. It can be a person in your life. Sometimes you're in a relationship, you're married, and your spouse is not quite what you expected. You hoped, you were hoping for more, and it came to very little, you know. And he's just a five loaves of bread type of husband or five loaves of bread type of wife. Falling far short of the standards you have set for yourself, you know. But if you do what Jesus did, which is to embrace the person, since they're in your life already, so you must take the loaves, right? Take the loaves and then do what Jesus did, which is to give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord for the loaves. That it may not be 5,000, but it is five. It is missing the three zeros, but it has the five. Okay? You need 5,000 loaves, but you have five of them. Give thanks for what you have. Give thanks for who he is. You know, sometimes you have children, you know, they are not quite what you expected them to be. Sometimes you read about other people's children and you can see them doing wonders and so on. And you just wonder, how come you didn't have all these, you know, talented kids or, you know, kids who are, you know, I saw a kid the other day, he knew the whole periodic table in chemistry. And the kid is only, I think it's like 2 years old or something like that. He could recite such things. There are all these, I think they call him Einstein also already. Yeah. You see, no. And I was just wondering, what do people eat to give back to these kinds of kids? You get it?
That's so crazy.
But if you will look closely, you will find out that God has blessed you also with your kids. You get it? And even though they may not be reciting all that at two, they can say something. At least they are talking at two.
Amen. You know,
that's a blessing because there are some kids who don't even talk at all, do you see? And some kids grow up before they talk. I mean, they grow up some six, seven, you know, before they even talk. So I want you to be grateful. Some don't even have any kids at all. Do you see what I'm saying? So you have to be grateful. Take what you have. Take what you have. It may not be what you expected. Sometimes you have a job, you know, and I know especially young people often have very wild dreams about jobs, you know, and you have a job, you have an opportunity to enter a job at a very low level, but many people just pass. They would rather be unemployed than to work a menial job, you see, but that's not what David did. David went to Saul's palace just to play music for, you know, like a man who was not well, you know. And eventually he got the chance to fight Goliath from that place. And he became a king, you know. So many times even the great thing is actually hidden. If only you will embrace what is working. Just take what is in front of you and be grateful for it. Give thanks to the Lord for what he has given you. And you might be surprised what is hiding in that little thing that you're giving thanks for. It triggers a multiplication miracle. It triggers a multiplication power. And somehow, the thing that you didn't think much of becomes this great blessing in your life. And no one could see that hiding in there. And yet, it is there. Hallelujah. When Jesus was confronted with the need to feed those people, all he did was to say thank you to God, and the miracle power of multiplication was released. I see that power being released in your life and on your behalf as you convert today into a thankful person for the little things that you have. Amen. And then finally, prayers of thanksgiving are prayers for the release of great and outstanding miracles. Prayers of thanksgiving are prayers for the release of great and outstanding miracles, right? And here's another example of Jesus again. This time, the situation is really bad. His best friend is dead, you know? Yes, his best friend, his name was Lazarus, and Lazarus was dead. Now, Jesus is at the funeral, and he has come to raise Lazarus up from the dead. Now, verse 40 of John chapter 11, says, Jesus saith unto her, this is John, Lazarus' sister, right? And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou believest, I'm sorry, he says, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, right, thou shouldest see the glory of God. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Right. Then, his next verse says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. You know, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. That's what the Bible says. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. So you can see, I mean, this is the worst situation anyone could be in. That's where everyone walks away with their help. Anyone who could help you helps you up to the point where you die. And after you die, they just throw a sheet over your face. And that's it. That's where all the help finishes, except for whatever is remaining, which is carry you off somewhere and bury you, right? Now, Jesus was looking at a dead situation where the person was dead and actually buried. So this had gone way beyond any kind of help. He was gone, gone, gone. Now, Jesus stood there, and the Bible says he prayed, and he prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. Look at the prayer. Jesus prayed, he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, you know, and I know you always hear me. I'm thanking you for hearing me. I'm thanking you for hearing me. Even before he says what he has to say, he's already grateful to the Lord. You can see that Jesus walked in gratitude mode all the time. Jesus was a thankful person, and every follower of Jesus must learn to be thankful. Jesus was someone who was grateful always, 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 always. No matter what the situation is, we must learn how to be grateful. Don't forget Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always, giving thanks always, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Give thanks always, always say thank you, even if it's a bad situation. Always say thank you. You lost a job, say thank you. You say how? How do you say thank you when you've just lost a job? Well, how do you say thank you when your best friend is dead and buried? How do you say thank you? How do you say thank you? Are you rejoicing at his death or what? You know, why do you say thank you when someone is dead? But Jesus said, Lord, I thank you. That's the starting point. That's the starting point. That's how to pray about anything. Start with thanks. Just say, Lord, I'm thankful, I'm thankful, I'm thankful, I'm thankful. And your miracle will begin from that point. You know, nobody around believed that Lazarus could come back to life. Everybody thought it was over. His sister said, Lord, if you have been here, this would not have happened. Now you're coming, we're glad you're here. But it's too late. They actually said, by now he stinks. By now the body is decomposed and, you know, we can't really do anything about this situation. But Thanksgiving brought a dead man back to life. And I don't know what situation in your life you've really closed the door on. You've given up hope. You don't know what to do, where else to turn. You don't feel like there's any hope anymore. Begin to be grateful. Begin to give thanks. Try Thanksgiving. Just try it. And let's see what the Lord will do. Hallelujah. So Thanksgiving is a very spiritual thing to do. And I pray that we all will become people who believe in Thanksgiving and who we will become ourselves from within thankful people instead of complaining and murmuring people. Hallelujah. Amen. So I hope you're blessed by that message. You know, get the book. The book has amazing chapters, and I want you to get it and read them yourself, and I believe you will be greatly blessed. Amen. Let's bring the service to a close. Everybody bow your heads right where you are and let us pray. Yes, I want you to ask God to make you a thankful person. Ask God. It's more than just saying thank you. You don't say thank you much because you are not a thankful person. That's the real problem, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth would speak. It is the mouth simply is an overflow of the heart. You know, the mouth is where the heart overflows into. And when people don't say thank you, and when people don't express gratitude, it is because in their hearts, they are not so grateful. They are not grateful people. That's where the operation needs to occur today. I want you to pray. Everybody just pray right now and tell the Lord, I need you to make me a grateful person. Just take a few moments and pray, everybody. Just pray. Let's pray. Yeah, just pray. Father, we are thanking you. Everybody pray. I want to hear you pray. Just pray and ask God to make you a thankful person. Lord, open my eyes to the small things.
I
need to be thankful. Good experiences, bad experiences, enjoyable experiences, bitter experiences, painful experiences, Lord. In all things, help me to be thankful. I know it's difficult, Lord, sometimes, because sometimes the issues of life are so complicated, they affect us so severely and so much. It is really hard, but we pray for your grace. We pray for your grace. We pray for your power, because with you, nothing shall be impossible. With you, nothing will be impossible. It is possible to give thanks to you, Lord. So no matter what is happening in our lives, teach us and help us.
The storms come and go. May I know that I will learn how to say
blessing today.
Oh Lord, thank you.
Everything says amen.
Amen.
Finally, maybe you're watching online or you're right here on the Zoom call, but you know in your heart that you're not saved, you're not born again, that if you die today, you don't know if you go to heaven or not. There is no reason why you should go to hell when the opportunity is there to go to heaven. And a simple prayer will change your eternal destiny. A simple prayer will change you from someone who's going to hell when you die to someone who will go to heaven when you die. And I want to help you. I want to lead you in that prayer. So I want you to join me in this prayer. Everybody say this prayer with me together. Whether you're on Facebook, you're right here on the Zoom call, wherever you are, let's just join and say this prayer together. Say with me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
So Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I invite you into my life.
I invite you.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into
my heart.
Forgive my sins, Lord.
forgive my sins.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer.
I am a child of God from today.
I am a child of God from today.
Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation.
My salvation.
Everybody says amen.
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 Hallelujah. God bless you. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with meaning, I would like you to just reach out to us so we know who you are. Just send us a message at Kodesh. And we will get back to you, we'll reach out to you, we'll give you a gift of a book, How to Be Born Again and Avoid Hell. How to Be Born Again and Avoid Hell is a book that we'd like you to have for free, of course, and just to bless you and to help you in your walk with the Lord. Okay, so send us a message, send us an email, or just a message on our social media handles at Kodesh LA, and I believe it's going to be a blessing. Okay, and God bless you. Now we want to receive our tithes also, our tithes and our offerings. We want to receive our tithes and our offerings. So just take out your tithe, and we're also going to receive our second offering. Okay. We're going to receive our second offering. And so, especially those of you who were not around for the first offering, this is your chance. Those who are around for the first offering, we are encouraging you to give a second offering. You know, especially times like these are important for sowing seeds. This is a good time for sowing seeds, you know. And so we need to sow seeds and trust God for a harvest. You know, there is no prosperity, there's no blessing that is not preceded by sacrificial giving and sowing. And so I want to encourage you all to continue to give and to continue to support God's work, and God will also support your life. Amen. God bless you as you give. Now take out your phones and let's pray. Just hold your phone like that and let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give, because it is through giving that we get to receive. And so I pray, Lord, and thank you for every giver and everyone giving today, from those who are giving their tithe to those who are giving offerings, and especially those who are giving even a second time today. I pray that you bless them a second time. Let the earth yield her increase in their lives in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, for the tithers. The Bible says you will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. I pray that that word will be fulfilled in their lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
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 Now let's give that offering, and DJ will sing for us again as we receive our offering. Okay. So give your tithe, and then you can also give your offering while DJ sings for us. Okay. All right.
When I get to heaven, I'll take and see your lonely bench by the field of heaven. I'll sit and think about my life, the life I lived, the things I did, places that I went. I hope I never say I regret the way I lived. I hope I never say, please let me go back. I don't want to say
wanna say, I wanna go back. I wanna say, I wanna go back. I don't wanna say that I wanna go back. When I get to heaven, I'll roam the streets and the highways. I'll walk the lanes. I'll see the heroes of the faith. Compare myself to those who shine like the stars in the sea crown. I hope I never say I regret the way I lived. I hope I never say please let me go back. I don't wanna say, can I go back to Jerusalem? I don't wanna say, I wanna go back. I don't wanna say that I wanna go back. Oh no, I don't wanna say that I wanna go back. When you get to heaven, you'll see your friends and the folks from church. The first will be last, and then the last will be the first. And I hope you'll be amongst the last and become the first. I hope you'll never say that you regret the way you lived. I hope you'll never say that you wanna go back. You don't wanna say, could you go back to do some? You don't wanna say that you wanna go back. You don't wanna say that you wanna go back. You don't wanna say that you wanna go back.
Wow. Thank you very much, DJ. It's a blessing. Now we will have our communion. You know, let's have our communion and we'll go back. We'll join the prophet as we have communion this morning. So let's go to First Love Church and we join the prophet.
Father, thank you for the great opportunity that we have to receive communion at this time.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Oh, the cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, it is the meal of God. It will sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life when I see the blood. Oh, oh, oh yeah, I will pass over you.
Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, as we take this bread, I say and declare that the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you.